Dear Heavenly Father, with all this within me and with all that I have, Lord, may I use it all to your glory. May I use it all to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that hearts might be stirred and minds might be engaged, that men would want to fulfill your great commission, Lord, and do the things that you've called us to do to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. And while you're going there, I'm just going to ask a question. You can give me a quick show of hands if you so desire, or you could just nod, or you could just pretend you didn't hear me. When I ask, how many this week took advantage of the opportunities that God placed in your life to either plant seed or water? Because God gives us opportunities daily. I don't ask, did you get any opportunities? God gives you opportunities. He gives all of us opportunities daily to tell somebody about him. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. That's our calling. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how God got the whole program started, and how he started it all with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from that family lineage, he called himself a people unto himself. Let's read this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the choosing of the chosen. The choosing of the chosen. And I want us to take mind of that and just kind of let that sink in, because not only then, but now, a lot of people had problems with God choosing a group of people to be his chosen people. We know it as the Jewish nation. And people didn't like it then that God had handpicked a group of people that he would call his own special people. And right now, a lot of us have hard times. We have great difficulties with Jewish people. Growing up, I didn't know what the word anti-Semitism was. I found that out after I got a little bit older. But it's this animosity between Jew and Gentiles. And it's existed since the time that God first picked them as his chosen people. And some of us in here, we just actually can't even hard to say the word Jew without our mouths getting twisted up. There's such this visceral hatred for this people. We make joke about them. Oh, you know, all the Jews got all that money. Well, I got a couple of Jewish friends who are as broke as I am. Okay? It's not that stereotype. But God has chosen them as a special people. And the reason that we need to know about this choosing of the chosen is because God has placed it on, he has commanded in his word to the entire church, all the Gentiles. He said, I saved you that you might be a witness to my people. That's not hard to understand. But what happens sometimes, because we have this animosity with Jewish people, we We want to spend way too much time, an inordinate amount of time, on our own issues, in our own cultures. And we say, well, we'll get around to them when we feel like it. But God has clearly commanded us. He said, this is our first priority. He said, I saved you specifically for that reason. And when I saved you, did he not promise you and me that he would take care of everything you need? Did he not promise that to you? Amen. He says, so you don't have to worry. It's okay to ask for yourself. It's okay to ask for your family. He said, but you don't have to worry about that because I promised you already I'll take care of you. But I got a job for you. My people, they're mine. And they're lost. They're utterly lost. And we walk with them every day. We talk with them every day. We interact with them on the internet every day. But sometimes because of prejudice, sometimes because of just plain old fear, and worst of all, sometimes because of apathy. We don't say nothing. We don't say nothing about Jesus. Let's talk about how God went about doing this. How did he come up with this group of people, the chosen people? Do you realize even if you go to a Webster's dictionary, if you look up the word chosen people, the Jews. That goes right into what we're talking about here today. Everybody, especially in the Western world, knows. They've heard the term the chosen people. I've got a couple Jewish acquaintances who, when I try to explain to them, when I try to express what God's will is for the Gentiles, those of us who have been redeemed into the body of Christ, when I try to tell them that I want to witness to them, and I tell them how special they are in God's eyes, and they start pointing out to me about the Holocaust and the persecution, and then I even had one of them say to me, well, Will, I just wish maybe he didn't love me so much. And some Jewish people, many Jewish people have just completely walked away from the promises of God. Because if you don't accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the fulfilled promise of God, then you get to thinking that maybe everything that mama and grandma and grandpa were told, maybe all those old stories were just that, old stories. But we have to be reminded so that we might be an encouragement to them and that we might be a witness to them, that God chose them as a special people unto himself. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Look at how personal this is. God says, the Lord thy God. See, what you have to understand is then and now, everybody's got a God. Every nation on the planet has a God. They might not call him by that name. Some of them call him, you got the Hindus, the Muslims, and all. But everybody has their particular God that they worship. And those who say they don't believe in any God actually worship themselves because they think they're God. But God pulled these people together unto himself. He said, I'm going to make you a holy people. First thing we're going to talk about is a holy people. That means you're set apart. Because God is doing a work here, y'all. Because here's a land filled with paganism. God had called Abraham out of the land of Ur, filled with paganism. He said, Abraham, follow me. And Abraham believed God, and he stepped out on faith, and he followed God. And then Abraham's descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them followed God. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. He said, I'm going to make you more than the stars, more than the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. I'm going to make you a promise. God made a promise to Abraham, and he made a promise to Abraham for one thing. He said, Abraham, just believe me. Just believe me. Do you realize that when it comes down to Christianity or just any, when it comes down to Christianity and following God, the first and foremost thing that God requires, and the simplest thing, just believe me. Just believe me. If I told you you had to go through 12 steps to get here and to get there, and then if I told you then you had to pay X amount of money to do this and to do that, you'd probably be more willing to do that than to simply believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins. Well, what else I got to do, preacher? Let me go kill the dragon, preacher. What, do I got to go knocking on doors, preacher? You know, ain't but 144,000 going in. Oh, that's some, oh, that's wrong denomination. But you're willing to do that, but you're not willing to accept the simple, believe on the name of Jesus and be saved. Abraham believed God, and God called him out. He led him out of Ur, and he says, I'm going to make you a holy people, set apart unto himself. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32 through 34. That's back just a couple pages. A holy people, a set apart people. God said, I'm going to do something that I've never done and nobody else has ever seen done. Starting with verse 32, listen to this challenge from God. God says, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or have God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? I want y'all to get that. I want y'all to get that part. God said, first off, I spoke to them. I've never spoken to any. Go look at your history. Pull it up on Google. God said, check from the ends of the earth. Has anybody ever spoke to me mouth to mouth and lived? He said, check it out. That was true then. It's true now. And then he says, now here, I'm going to tell you something else that I did. He said, I took a nation out of the midst of a nation. Wait a minute, God. Here, Egypt was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. But don't y'all remember, God said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. So God said, it's all mine anyhow. He said, I'll let you use it for a little bit here and a little bit there. Do what you want to do with it. He says, but he says, has anybody ever gone into the midst of another nation and pulled himself a nation out of that nation? And he says, I did it by temptations. I did it by signs. He did it with the plagues. He did it with the signs. He did it with the wonders. He did it. I did it by war and by a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord our God did for you in Egypt. He said, and I did it right in front of your eyes. It's historical, y'all. God said, check the whole world. When God pulled Egypt, when God pulled Israel out of Egypt, you said, how did everybody else find out about that? When you go over and you read about Rahab, when the 12 spies went over, and they went over and they were on their way out of it, they left, been brought out in Passover in the Exodus, and they get over to Rahab. Now, Rahab is old. She's a Canaanite woman, y'all. She's a Canaanite woman. She's got no Google. She got no telephone. She got no telegraph. And here these 12 spies show up, and they say, we're Israelites. And she said, I heard about y'all. I heard how God brought y'all out with a mighty hand. People hear when God does what he does. Do you realize that God's record has even made it into Hollywood? In Ghostbusters. Dan Aykroyd's standing there and he's got that big old thing on him. And they're saying, well, what's going on down here on the street? He said, all I can tell you, this is stuff of biblical proportions. This is stuff of Moses kind of stuff. Everybody's heard. God said, check me out. He said, I want you to know that I did this all so that there will be no doubt as to who you're going to be worshiping. There will be no doubt as to who you're going to be following. God wants you to know that when he calls you and he makes you a promise, He's got the power. First off, he's sovereign, so he can pull them out of a nation if he wants to pull them out of a nation, because it all belongs to him. And he's powerful enough to do it. He wants you to know that, because God's got promises for us as well as he's got for the Jewish community. But he's made some promises that we need to see what he's done with the Jewish community so that we can understand that when we put our faith and trust in him. Because when he says, don't you worry about you, but I want you to go and witness to my people, the Jews, I got to know I'm not leaning on a bruised reed. I got to know I'm trusting in the one true and living God. He said he's got the power to bring them out, and he brought them out with great signs, great wonders, and all-powerful works. He said, the Lord, thy God, again, very personal, very intimate when he's speaking to his people, the Lord, thy God, hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. A special people unto himself. He says, I'm going to make you a treasure. God says, I'm going to make you. Some of us have family heirlooms. And some of those heirlooms, if you took them down to a pawn shop, you ain't going to get nothing much for them. But they came from mama's, mama's, and they're a special treasure. God's saying, I brought you down from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And I did it because you're a special treasure unto me. I'm calling you. I am choosing. He says, when he's talking to the Jewish community, he says, I'm choosing you out above everybody else. See, because I want people to know that I'm God. I'm the one true and living God. And I've got to be able to give you something so that you can go. Because remember, the first thing the Jews were told to do, they're supposed to tell everybody else about God, the one true and living God, but they didn't quite come through on the job. But God did this so that we would know he's God. God says, I'm going to make you a special treasure. And the first thing I want to say to the folks here, you say, why would God do that? But then I want to tell you, before I tell you why he did it, I'm going to tell you what were the reasons that he didn't do it for. Verse 7 says, I did not set my love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. He said, for you were the fewest. See, so if the Jews wanted to boast about anything, they couldn't boast about, hey, you know, we were on charge. No, actually, they were slaves. They were in bondage in Egypt. So they were slaves. So God said, I picked you. I specifically picked you because you were the weakest and you were the smallest of nations. Deuteronomy 9:4. This is one that trips us up as Christians. Deuteronomy 9:4 says, when the question comes as to why he didn't, the statement as to why he didn't pick them, he says, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. See, a lot of us feel that, you know why God saved me? There must be something good about me because Jesus died for me. No, there's something good about you because Jesus died for you. There's nothing good in you or me. Nothing good. But the only thing that gives me value is that Jesus died for me. The Jews had gotten to the point where they wanted to say, well, God is moving us into this great land of promise. Because we're so good. Because we don't do bad things. And God said, no. I'm only giving you this because I pleaded with the land of Canaan for 400 years. For 400 years, God pleaded with the land of Canaan, giving them an opportunity to turn. And they refused to turn. So because of their wickedness, not because of Israel's righteousness. God moved them into this land, a chosen people, a special treasure. Not because you and I are so good does God bless us, does he do for us. He does it because, we'll see why he does it for the Jews. He said, I did it because I love you. See, I get the parallel with when he talks to the Jewish community, when he's talking to them back on verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. He says, the reason why I did it, I didn't do it because you were the most. I didn't do it because you were so good. I did it because I love you. For those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who are saved, search the scriptures. And we have a tendency to get all puffed up. You know, I ain't smoking no more. I ain't drinking no more. I ain't cussing no more. Surely, that's why God saved me. He saved you because he loves you. He says, no greater love has any man. He saved you because he loves you. He's calling you and he's calling me because he loves us. And brothers and sisters, when you know that Jesus loves you, when you know that Jesus has got your back, when you know that he says, you have not because you ask not, is it that difficult for us to do what he's called us to do when it comes to his chosen people? I don't want you to get off from today from, well, preacher, why are you telling me about the Jews? Because if the Bible says if you bless them, I'll bless you. He said, you want to magnify your ministry? You bless them. He said, guess what? Do you realize that salvation is of the Jew? And every time you open this book, 99.9% of all of this book was written by a Jew. He gave you the word of God. You're being blessed already by the whole Jewish community when you every time you open your Bible. And we know for a fact that we worship a Jewish man. He came as a Jew. So where does the animosity come in? Where does the angst come in? You got staunch Christians who cannot stand Jews. This has got to play into our everyday lives. Look at your newspaper. You know that country over there called Israel? That country that we, oh man, they need to give up some more land. The country is this big. I defy most of the people in this congregation to find them on a globe. But yet and still we'll say, well, you know, if they would just give up another 5 miles of land, we'd have peace in the Middle East. If they gave up another 5 miles of land, you'd have pieces of Israel in the Middle East. That's not, we bless them and we support them because they're God's chosen. God has chosen them. God deals with the right and wrong of what they're doing. I don't say everything they're doing is politically correct. I don't say that. But I do know God has told me, and he said to you, you support them. And while you support them, the best support you can do for them, give them the gospel. Get Bibles over into Israel. Give them the gospel. God says, I'm going to make you a holy people. I set you apart from everybody else. And I've chosen thee to be a special treasure for me above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I've used this illustration. I just got to keep using this. God said, they are special to me above any and all people. That's not to denigrate anybody else, y'all. That's not putting anybody else down. But he's sovereign. If he can take them out the midst of a nation, he can pick a group that he wants to be his special treasure. Whenever the salesmen would come to you to your door, and they would always they want to show you how good their product is, especially the sweeper guys, the vacuum cleaner guys. Okay, they come over and they get their vacuum cleaner and they put down a pile of dust and they tell you to bring out your old raggedy vacuum cleaner and you try to get up all the dust off the ground with your raggedy vacuum cleaner. And then the guy brings out this brand new super duper got water all flowing through it thing and he just whisk up everything. Why would he do that? He did that because he wants you to know he's got the best product out there. He said, take your best, the vacuum cleaner you got, take it and use it. He said, but I'm going to come along. He didn't even ask you what brand you got. He said, I'm going to put mine on there and it's going to do better. What's the book of Hebrews tell us? Says Christ is better. Tell us God's word is better. God said, look, I've got this group of people that I brought out because I want all of y'all to know my power. I want all y'all to know my grace. I want all y'all to know my sovereignty. I want all y'all to know my commands. I want all of y'all to understand I'm serious. And he said, I'm going to pull these people out and I'm going to treat them. I'm going to turn them into a great nation, but I'm going to hold them accountable for me. I'm going to hold them accountable to do the things that I've told them to do. And he said, and if they don't, then I will surely punish them. In the church today, we don't believe in such thing as punishment. That's politically incorrect to say that God punishes anybody. That's politically incorrect to believe that God would say to us in 1 Corinthians 11, where God says, when you partake of this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, God says, if you partake of this ordinance with an unworthy heart, that means you aren't living the way you're supposed to be living, and don't nobody know but you and God. He said, if you're doing this, God says, I'll punish you. Well, I thought that went out with the Old Testament. No, God says, I'll punish you. So you look at what he does with the Jewish community. When you go back to this chosen people, you look at what he's done with them so that you might understand how to better conduct yourself today. God says, obey me. He said for them to obey him. He's saying for us to obey him. He says, you are a special treasure unto the Lord. Verse 8, it reads, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, we get to the part where we talk about, we were bought with a price. The Jews were bought with a price. You get to see all these beautiful parallels between what God did with the Jewish community and what he has done in the church today. But they are not to be confused or confounded, because there's people who teach that the church today has replaced Israel. No, the church today has just been adopted into the family of Israel. We have not replaced Israel. Israel still receives all the promises of God with the land. We are given all the heavenly blessings. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God told the Jews that, he said, I've made you a holy people, and I've called you as a treasure unto myself. And I told you, I didn't do it because you were so good. I didn't do it because you were so many. He said, but what I did in Egypt, he said, I bought you. He said, I bought you. I redeemed you out of slavery. Here's another one of those parallels for us. The Bible says, before we got saved, we were a slave to sin. Anytime you see Egypt pictured in the scriptures, you're seeing bondage and you're seeing a type of slavery to the devil. God says to the Jews, he said, I bought you with a price. The story says is on the day of the Passover, God had told the entire Jewish community, he said, take the blood of a lamb and put it over the doorpost. Actually, he made that offer to anybody there. You didn't have to be Jewish to take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost. And God says, wherever I see the blood, wherever I see the blood, that family will be spared. And I will deliver that family. They will be spared. He said, I bought you with a price out of the house of slavery. And when he brought them out of the house of slavery, do you say, when you come out of the house of slavery, just like when we come out of the bondage of sin, do you come out and you say, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Or do you say, Lord, you brought me out to do what? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, he answers that for the Jewish community. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. He says, I brought you out to bring you in. God saved them for a purpose. He wanted to take them out of slavery and out of the bonds of Egypt, not to leave them hanging out in the desert for 40 years, y'all. He brought them out with the purpose of bringing them in to a new life and a better life and a life that will serve him, that will glorify him and bless you. Parallel. God brought us out. For anybody who has believed on the name of Jesus Christ, he brought you out. He set you free, but he set you free for a purpose. Have you ever stopped to say, Lord, what is that purpose? I'm just free at last, free at last. Let me wander around in the desert for another 40 years. How many out in the desert right now? Just wandering around. No, you know Jesus. You know the word of God. You've been saved by the blood of the Lamb and you're just wandering. Well, God fed me this morning. I'm cool. Car cranked up this morning. I'm cool. You know what that sounds like to me? It almost sounds like you got manna. You got just enough to get by. When God says through his son, Jesus Christ, he said, I came to give you life that you might have life more abundantly. If you're sitting in here, if you're listening online, if you're not having the abundant life. And when I talk about abundant life, I'm not talking about money. Sometimes it is, because when you're broke, one of the best blessings you can have is some cash. I'm not a health and wealth preacher, but I heard a preacher say, well, you know, if you're just talking about money, that's not a great blessing. If you're broke, it is. If you're sick, I would like to not have to go to the doctor anymore. But give him the full counsel, y'all. Give him the full counsel. God is good. He does heal. He does heal people. God is good. Sometimes that check will show up. Man, that check will show up. I had a check show up. When I first started my business, and I don't forget about checks. When people owe me some money, especially when you're broke, I didn't have to have a written log or anything. I knew who I had a check coming from. And my wife and I, we're sitting there at the office and we're just kind of sweating over this. Oh, boy, you know, and insurance is coming up. Your workman's comp insurance is coming up. And you can't dare put a man out there on the job without that workman's comp, because one thing happened. And we're sitting there and we're kind of looking at each other. Looking, okay, when are we going to close the doors? Because I can't send anybody out. I don't have any comp. And I can't remember the number now, but it was like $113. And I didn't have it. And we're sitting there and the mailman shows up. Hands us a check. It's like $113.75. Oh, thank you, Jesus! Hey, I'm just telling you, that ain't health and wealth. That's called keeping me going. But he's a good God. And he did the same thing for the Jews. And he said, I brought you out. He goes, I want you to look at what I've done. And I'm challenging everybody here. Look at you. Even some of us got sickness in our body, but God keeps you going. He gets you up every morning. And all he says, just say thank you. Just say thank you. You ain't got nothing to give him but your praise. What are we going to give God but praise? Going to try to tip him with some cash or something? But he says, just say thank you. And see, and that's what happened with the Jewish community. They got to the point where they started thinking, oh, you know, because we're so this and because we're so that, maybe that's why we're all that we are. And they started looking upon the other people, the Gentiles, the people that they referred to as dogs. They started thinking of them as nothing. And when anybody gets sideways with God's program, I don't care if you're black, white, Mexican, whatever you are, you get sideways with God, you got a problem. And what God did was, He pulled that coat. He goes, because I told you to give this message to the Gentiles, and you didn't, God said, I'm going to set you off to the side for a little bit. He said, I've used you for a very good example on a whole lot of things. I've used you for a very good example. Now I'm going to use you for a good, bad example of what not to do when I tell you what to do. God said, I told you to witness to all these folks. And he set them off to the side because they wouldn't do what he told them to do. And then he called himself another people. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. When God chose his original chosen people to do a job, which was to evangelize the world, and they refused. Remember I told you, the scripture says that he redeemed his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 reads, what? That's sort of a, like a what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see the parallel? He said, I redeemed Israel out of Egypt, and I did it. I brought them out to bring them in. He gets to us and he says, don't you know? When you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ of the Son of the living God, when I said that I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, don't you know you were bought with a price? And you are no longer your own. We are to glorify God with everything that we do and say. I was wondering, I said, Lord, I really want Good Shepherd to be involved in Jewish evangelism. He's just placed that on my heart from day one. Jewish evangelism. And I was saying, well, how do we get involved in Jewish evangelism? Guess what? Guess what the Lord spoke to me. Sometimes he tells me things and I just, ooh, I like that. He said, don't you know that every time you tell a Gentile that his job is to evangelize the Jews, you're involved in Jewish evangelism? Hey, man, I like that. You guys, everybody here, is called to Jewish evangelism. It's a forgotten thing. God has promised you and he's promised me, I'll take care of everything that you need. I just got one thing that I want you to do. Think of it like this. When you see those milk cartons, and you see all those children's faces on there, wasn't that a happy ending up in Cleveland a couple weeks ago? Those young ladies who have been gone for 15, 20, all those years. Can you imagine the anguish when they first put their pictures on those milk cartons and they said, this young lady is missing and this young lady is missing. Can you imagine the anguish of the parents? We feel bad for them. You know, you pick up the milk carton and you go, well, you know, that's really bad. And you do feel bad for them. But what about that day when you pick up that milk carton and you see your child's face on it? It's a whole different ballgame. God said, that's my child on that milk carton. The entire Jewish community, that's his chosen children. And he's saying to you, will you help me find him? Will you look for him? Will you evangelize him? Will you take the time out? Don't get so caught up in your own culture, your own stuff, your own this, don't get so caught up in the urgent stuff that you forget about the important stuff. We have a tendency to do that as saints of God. He says, we were bought with a price. Last scripture I want you to see. 1 Peter 2:9-10. It's the last passage I'm going to ask you to turn to. 1 Peter 2:9-10. For anyone who's having difficulty accepting and understanding that God has made a choice about his people, the Jews, he said he chose them to be a special nation unto himself, a special treasure unto himself. But guess what else he did? Here's another one of those parallels. He goes, the Jews are a chosen people. But he says, anybody who believes on the name of Jesus Christ, anybody who accepts the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's what he says. Here's what he says to you. See, you're upset because God chose the Jews. Now, look what he says about you and me. You're not forgotten. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. A what? A royal priesthood. A holy, set apart nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God chose the Jewish people as a nation. They are the Jewish nation as a complete people. They weren't saved as individuals. They are saved as a people group. And as a people group, God is saying to us, we are called as a chosen generation, a peculiar people for a special work. We are set aside for holiness. We are set aside for a special work. And part of that special work, a major part of that special work, is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to his children, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, would you do that for me? He says, that's what I called you for. That's what I called you for, and that's what I called you to. When I read the scriptures and I see where God called them out as a chosen people, and then I go down and I read where he says here in 1 Peter that I too am part of a chosen generation, handpicked by God. He picked them, he picked you, he picked me. The Bible says that when God redeemed the Jews out of Egypt, he told them to put that blood over the doorposts and I'll deliver you. I'll bring you out. The Jews were redeemed by the blood of a lamb. God says to you and me and all who will listen, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you shall be saved. They were saved by the blood of a lamb. The chosen generation, the royal priesthood, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. And he's saying to those who have ear, tell my people about me. They've all but given up hope on the promises of God. Don't keep it to yourself. Let the chosen people know why God chose him in the first place. Thank you for your time.